Good morning and welcome to JFK Spotlight on Health. This is where we highlight the groundbreaking work being done at JFK University Medical Center in Edison. It's part of the Hackensack Meridian Health Network. I'm Joel Katz, and joining me this week once again is Dr. Edwin Theosmy, fellowship-trained hip and knee surgeon at the Hackensack Meridian Medical Group. Good morning, doctor. Welcome back.
Good morning. Thanks for having me again, Joel.
It's been a while, though. It's been a couple of years, I think.
Yeah, it's been definitely at least over a year and a half or so since we last discussed some topics in regards to, orthopedic ailments.
You sound exactly the same.
I do. I guess not much has changed over the past year.
I knew it was you right away. All right, let's jump into it. I think we talked about hips last time, as I mentioned, a hip and knee surgeon, but we're going to focus on the knees. So just about everybody, I think it's safe to say, at one point or another has some sort of issue with the knee. So, but we want to start with what happens like to our knees as we age. Usually, when you're younger, your knees are okay, God willing, but as you get older, they progressively get worse, I guess, like everything does on the human body. But we want to talk about the aging knee and what happens as we age to our knees.
Yeah, sure. So, in general, as we age, unless you found the fountain of youth, it's one of the things that, along with taxes, you can't really avoid. Aging in and of itself, of course, is, natural, normal. With aging in regards to the knees, however, there are some changes that can occur to the knees on the molecular level. To keep it simple, as we age, the amount of water in our knees changes, there's a little bit less in our knees, and the number of cells in our knees also change as well. And, that's okay, that's fine. Most people are able to, compensate to a degree. They may, modify their activities a bit and still find ways to do things that they love to do. However, sort of getting to my point, unfortunately, not all of us necessarily, age gracefully when it comes to the joints. Mm-hmm. And that's when issues like arthritis come into play, which is one of the most common causes of knee pain, that I certainly see in my clinic. So in comparison to just natural aging, with arthritis, we get a little bit more, sort of pathology in the knee, so to speak. We actually end up getting more water in our knees, for example. A lot of times, I'm sure you've maybe heard people or seen people, after walking for a long period of time, oh, my knees get swollen, mm-hmm. things like that. Say my knees get swollen or, I got to sit down a little bit more because my knees are aching me, lots of swelling, whatnot. That, things like that, the increased swelling or whatnot, those things tend to lend more towards arthritis, which is the abnormal aging, of the joints that, creates the pathology and causes the discomfort that we can see in patients.
So you mentioned water on the, you didn't say water on the knee, but you said water, the water changes in the knee. You mentioned it twice. And to me, water mm-hmm. on the knee is a condition, but you're saying that there's water in the knee all the time. I guess it depends on how much you have.
Yeah, exactly. Right. There is water in the knee all the time at baseline, there's a certain level when we're younger, as we get older and just aging normally, it tends to decrease a little bit. But, when you get arthritis, which is sort of the bad aging of the knee, so to speak, what's happening is the body is sort of responding to the changes within the knee, the pathologic changes within the knee, mm-hmm. whether it's the cartilage changes or whatnot, and then it responds and it just sort of screams at you. It starts to increase the water in order to try to decrease that discomfort and pain that's going, or the pathology that's going on in there.
So when someone says they have water on the knee, what does that even mean? Because everybody has water on their knee.
Yeah. So usually in, for example, in my practice, so to speak, so you come into, an orthopedic surgeon's clinic, your chief complaint is knee pain. To be in patients that are older or patients that may have some sort of injury. So basically, if you have water in the knee, to keep it simple, there's usually some sort of injury or pathology going on in the knee that's causing that water to accumulate in the knee. Mm-hmm. Whether that's some sort of issue with some of your ligaments and meniscus, for example, or more commonly what I see, I tend to see a little bit more of an older population, it's the bone spurs, the loss of cartilage, the wear in the knee, the bone rubbing up against each other, things like that. Mm-hmm. That's what most people will say, or what they mean, so to speak, when they say they have water in their knees.
Okay, so you mentioned arthritis. Now, and then when you walk, you have arthritis, your knees get swollen. You mentioned that example. But what actually causes that? I mean, I think you probably just touched on it there with spurs and losing cartilage and things like that. But what causes the swelling itself other than just saying it's arthritis? Like, what is happening within the knee?
So it's our body, essentially. What's happening is our body, our immune system is responding to a trauma. And arthritis, if we break down the word, essentially, the first part of it, the A-R-T-H, it means joint. And then the second part of it, the I-T-I-S, that means swelling. So that's kind of inflammation, so to speak, to keep it that actual medical term for it. So what's happening is our body is experiencing pain because we're losing sort of that cartilage or that cushion when we walk. So as we walk, we're essentially deteriorating that cartilage, causing the pain in the body. Our immune system, our own immune system, is actually reacting. That's what's happening. So basically, all the blood cells, the white blood cells, are rushing to that area, and it's trying to, you know, really trying to figure out what's kind of going on in that area, trying to help to solve the issue, so to speak. But what ends up happening inadvertently is because of all the cells are rushing over there, that's where that water is coming from. That water is basically accumulating because of our immune system responding to that.
Oh, I learned something there. Arthritis. Joint swelling. Well, I mean, I guess we knew what it was. I didn't know it actually meant that, like the actual definition. So we talked about, you know, when knees age, and then there's other conditions. I mean, there's a ton of conditions for knees, right? But sometimes people will experience clicking when they walk in their knee. And what is the cause of that? Is that I'm assuming it's like the bones kind of not lined up properly, and when you bend the knee, it kind of snaps, makes a little clicking sound.
Yeah. Yeah, that's actually a pretty good, I got to say, Andrew, that's actually a pretty good of a definition. to further delineate into that, let's break it down into sort of two categories with regards to that clicking. So there's painless clicking, you know, clicking that doesn't hurt, that's benign. That's essentially, you know, nothing to worry about. You know, lots of people's knees can click from time to time, you know. Sometimes you just step a certain way, walk a certain way, you know, just the muscles are just, or the bones are just a little aligned in a weird little way, and it's just your body just realigning things, so to speak. So nothing to worry about with painless clicking. Painful clicking is sort of a different pathology in of itself, you know. That can be related to somewhat kind of what you alluded to, essentially the bones rubbing up against each other in a painful or a bad way. One of the more common examples is behind the kneecap, for example. Some patients say that, you know, whenever I go from sitting down to standing up, my knees click and it hurts, especially right behind my kneecap. You know, that to me sort of screams arthritis starting to build up behind the kneecap.
Okay.
Or another example, I mean, older patients, you see younger patients too, is some of the muscles or the tissues around it or for some reason sort of malaligned. And there could be multiple reasons for that, you know. If a patient, let's say, has, you know, arthritis in one joint or even another joint, like in their hip, for example, they might tend to compensate or walk way or walk a little bit differently. Yeah. And then by limping and altering the mechanics, the natural mechanics of the muscles around your knee, for example, your IT band, for example, which is the perfect example of a muscle that actually stretches from your hip all the way down to the side of your knee. So if that muscle is out of whack and misaligned, now it's sort of in a weird and a different position from where it normally is. And then that can cause some rubbing or some clicking almost like a guitar string, so to speak, sort of banging up against like an edge of something, so to speak. Essentially, that can happen, and that can cause or the sensation of clicking or rubbing in an area, and that can be fairly uncomfortable because the mechanics are off, so to speak. And another reason for painful clicking could be indicative of some sort of sign of instability in the knee, whether that's instability from, let's say, an ACL tear or instability from some sort of meniscus injury, or even when it comes to I'm getting kind of advanced here, when it comes to the total joint replacement. You know, I do also do revision joint replacement as well. Sometimes clicking in a replaced knee that's painful can be indicative of some sort of instability with the implant, you know. I can go into full details on that, but basically, you know, painful clicking is something that, you know, I would recommend, you know, getting checked out. Painless clicking, typically, you know, that occurs on a daily basis, that's pretty predictable, nothing to worry about. But the painful clicking, again, usually if it becomes bothersome, I'll definitely recommend coming and getting checked out.
Yeah, I mean, we should clarify that a revision surgery is you've had a knee replacement and then you need to go back in and fix it after a little while, right?
Exactly. There's multiple reasons for that. You know, it could be maybe the implant, you know, especially if you've got the implant in when you were younger for multiple reasons. Mm-hmm. Sometimes it can sort of wear, it sort of runs its shelf life, you know. Granted, you know, implants are getting a lot more, a lot better these days in terms of, you know, the way they're being manufactured. They're built to last these days, definitely. But still, you know, they still have a shelf life, so to speak. So sometimes, you know, clicking can be a sign of the implant potentially something going, the implant going downhill, so to speak. And, you know, speaking of other reasons for clicking in regards to patients with total knee replacements over time, you know, it could be instability or the implant could be loose, for example. Mm-hmm. There could be lots of wear in regards to the implant. Usually, if you can imagine a total knee replacement, or if I could try to paint the picture for everyone, basically what we're doing in a knee replacement is we're resurfacing the edge of the thigh bone and resurfacing the top of the shin bone, and we're creating a new joint. We're putting a nice big piece of plastic in there that makes it nice and smooth so that you can glide and be able to extend the knee and bend the knee without pain. And that poly that's in between there, sometimes that can wear out. You know, sometimes if that really wears out and things are off balance, it can cause sort of a clicking or a ricketing or a not smooth motion. And in cases like that, you know, that those situations where people will need a, you know, need surgery for that in order to correct that.
Now, you mentioned earlier that you know, with the input, without an implant, you mentioned that there's clicking, and if there's no pain, it's no big deal. But if there's clicking with an implant, is that a different story?
Yeah, clicking with an implant. Again, sort of breaking that down into painful versus not painful, it applies too for the implant. So a lot of times with a normal total knee, sometimes you might hear some clicking just because the parts are mechanical, so to speak. The most common clicking complaint that I do hear of, you know, a painless clicking event, is really just that kneecap portion of the implant rubbing up against the thigh portion of the implant. So there's sort of three parts. You know, I explained the capping of the end of the thigh bone, mm-hmm. the capping of the top of the shin bone. There's also resurfacing behind the kneecap, you know, to get rid of that kneecap there, get rid of the arthritis behind the kneecap. We put a nice piece of essentially plastic behind there to create a new kneecap, essentially. And what happens a lot of times is that sometimes that kneecap just articulating or rubbing up or clicking, so to speak, or impacting, rather, if that's a better word for it, impacting the femoral side or the end of the thigh bone portion of the implant, especially when we get up or whenever we try to extend that leg, that's normal. And that's something that you can't necessarily change. That's something that's always going to kind of be there the rest of your life if you have an implant from that particular clicking noise. Mm-hmm. That's something to not worry about. That's not necessarily, okay. As long as it's not painful, that's not something to worry about. It's just sort of getting used to having that or mechanical knee, so to speak, or a not natural knee, so to speak.
Talking with Dr. Edwin Thiazmi, fellowship-trained hip and knee surgeon at Hackensack Meridian Medical Group, and we're talking about the aging of knees primarily is the focus for this week's program. And I wanted to talk about, you know, as you get older, sometimes things get harder to do. Obviously, you slow down, and then sometimes climbing the stairs can get harder as the knee ages. Is there a cause for that, or is it just age? I mean, because you may be getting pain on the way up or the way down of the stairs.
Yeah, exactly. So stairs is a good example of, you know, one of the chief complaints that some people might come in as well whenever they come see me in my office. And typically, the general reason why people have difficulty with stairs in regards to the knee has to do a lot with just the knee essentially not being able to sort of take that load as much anymore, most often due to the muscles being weaker around the knees. And that oftentimes can be secondary to causes like arthritis or injury, for example. Mm-hmm. A lot of times people with arthritic knees, one of the first spots in particular, you know, whenever I see a patient, I do a full history, full examination. I always ask them, it's one of the common questions that, you know, anybody, patients that have seen me, they know I ask this, is if you have to point to one spot where it hurts, or did you feel like most of your pain hurts? And most of the patients, you know, that complain of pain going down the stairs, most commonly they point right to the inside of that knee. The reason why they point to the inside of that knee is because that's usually the first spot that arthritis affects most commonly in most patients. Mm-hmm. And the reason why they feel it going down the stairs is because gravity in and of itself, or putting weight on that leg in addition to gravity, so to speak, really pushes down the knee joint.
Right.
So
if you think, right, you're coming down on the knee, right, more pressure.
Exactly, yeah. So, and then that inside of the knee is the first part of the knee that really gets the brunt of it. Yeah. As far as another thing to point out, too, as far as going upstairs, you know, that's people will complain about going issues going up the stairs as well. That in and of itself, yeah, it can be related to sort of the muscles around the joint getting weak due to arthritis. But more so, instead of the inside of the knee, that I noticed tends to be a little bit more so behind the kneecap in and of itself. So it tends to be the arthritis behind the kneecap that causes more of that issue.
Can you speak to, there's a couple of conditions that I'm familiar with. One, well, I guess I wouldn't call it a condition. Excuse me. I know somebody who's had to walk backwards down the steps because of their knee issue. And then there's the, what I think is called, like when someone says they have a trick knee, it kind of gives out occasionally.
Yeah.
Could you speak to those two?
There are people that say, you know, they end up trying to walk down the stairs backwards because of their knee pain. You know, it's and it's basically people trying to compensate essentially for what their issues are. You know, I guess by essentially walking backwards, you know, you're probably putting a little bit less stress. You're still putting stress on the knees, but it's just the angle that you're bending the knee at doesn't, I guess, it creates a little bit less discomfort, so to speak, in the knee as you're going down the steps, especially on the inside part of that knee. So people, you know, I have heard of people saying they, you know, can't go down the steps, you know, like they normally do. They'll walk backwards, or they'll say they have to do the, you know, one step with the good leg and then follow it with the, you know, the bad leg, so to speak. That's another common trick that I see people do in order to help maneuver the stairs whenever their knees are, being funky, so to speak.
Yeah, it seems like they're just trying to not bend the knee.
Exactly. Yeah, so they're trying to modify their activity, so to speak, in order to help to compensate for that. But ultimately, you know, that's not a great way to necessarily go down the steps. And, you know, there's always risks with that, you know.
There are worse ways, though.
Yeah, I would agree. I would agree there are worse ways.
Got to play it safe, right? Yeah, and then there's the trick knee where it kind of gives out once in a while. You never know when it's going to happen, so it's kind of scary.
Yeah, that is very scary, Joel. Understandably scary, you know. Whenever you can't trust or be confident in that knee, it's definitely not something that it's not something that's very comforting. So, you know, it could be multiple reasons for the that trick knee, so to speak. It could be, for one, the arthritis, you know. Maybe you step that certain way that really triggers the pain to flare up, you know. Or it could be some sort of pathology in the knee, like your meniscus is, you know, tearing, or your meniscus is torn, so to speak, and it causes, again, more pain in the knee, and then you tend to avoid things because of that. Other reasons why people complain of instability, you know, could be like the ligaments in the knee, like the ACL, just wear over time as it relates to age, just sort of wearing out, you know, not being as strong as it used to be. Or maybe the patient may even have had a subtle injury to the ACL in the past, and that can create some instability over time, you know, in addition to the arthritis that tends to develop too, after sort of like a post-traumatic arthritis type of situation there. Yeah,
there's so many things that could happen to the knees. I mean, even the meniscuses and the ACLs and ligaments and all that kind of stuff. But there are specific diseases as well, not just the wearing of the knee, right? And so what is it like, I guess, the most popular disease, or that sounds horrible, the most popular disease. But what would be something that you see quite often? And it's not caused by any type of wear and tear or aging.
Yeah. So some other diseases that we definitely talk about. Interestingly enough, this is one of this disease in particular. It's not very common overall when it comes to the knee, and much more common in the hip, actually. But basically, it can affect the knee as well. So one of the issues I'm talking about is a subchondral insufficiency fracture, basically. So it's to keep it simple, it's essentially when the bone gets a little bit too weak, so to speak. If we take a look at bone, and there's multiple different areas to bone. There's the harder portion of the bone, which we call the like the cortical bone, so to speak. It's kind of that that shinier area that we see of the bone. And then underneath that cortical bone, there's more of the spongy bone.
Okay.
We call that metaphyse of bone. It's more of the spongy bone, so to speak. That area, the area with the spongy bone, in patients as we get older, especially in patients that might have osteoporosis or patients that are a little bit more susceptible to getting, if their bones are a little bit weaker, that area can get injured. So when the bone is a little bit too weak and that area gets injured, what people can develop what's called a subchondral insufficiency fracture. And that's sort of a long word for it. You know, sometimes I just come up with the acronym SIRK or subchondral insufficiency. SIFK rather.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, to just keep it simple. But basically, that's kind of what's going on there. And the issue with that is, you know, patients typically present with pain, in the knee. That's pretty bothersome, pretty debilitating. You know, it's almost a little bit equivalent to like a stress fracture. I'm sure you've heard that term before.
Sure.
Almost equivalent to a stress fracture of that area of the bone. And again, it happens more commonly in older patients. And typically, they'll say, you know, they have lots of pain whenever they put any weight on the knee, or any time they put pain on the joint, or whenever they maneuver it a certain way, they're experiencing lots of pain. And one big concern with this particular disease, the insufficiency fractures, it can get worse and eventually progress to something called avascular necrosis, which is essentially when the bone, to keep it simple, almost dies, so to speak, when that blood supply to that area of the bone is no longer there, and that bone doesn't get that blood it needs in order to thrive. That bone tends to sort of die, and sometimes on the x-rays or imaging, you can see like a nice, like a black line, so to speak, as sort of indicative of that bone dying, so to speak.
Are there any of the things that we've mentioned this morning that cannot be cured, cannot be taken care of, cannot be, with a knee replacement or anything?
Yeah. So all of these, there's definitely remedies and cures for all of these. You know, that's where I come in as the clinician to offer you treatment options for all of these and what we can do in order to help most of these ailments of the knee. For one, you know, in general, all of these actually, for as far as like the first line of treatment, would be activity modification. So, and we talked a little bit about activity modification for arthritis, but to add on to that, essentially just, instead of, let's say if you're like a heavy runner, like you run a whole lot, maybe just go more so with the lower impact exercises in order to help decrease the stresses to your knees. Great activities are cycling, swimming, biking, things like those.
And these are if you have an issue.
Yeah.
Because when you said that, I run 3.5 miles every day. I've never had knee problems. Is it something that I should, or someone like me should be aware, should be more careful because you're overdoing it?
No, not necessarily. No, I don't want you to change your activity or change what you do. That's why, if you've been doing that for a long time, you've been training up to that, and you're comfortable with that, and you don't have any new issues, you're no issues. Just keep doing what you're doing. I think you're perfectly fine.
Okay.
It's more so the people that, realize, oh, I'm having a lot of pain doing this, or I'm having a lot of issues doing this, or having this. Maybe, at least for the short term, modify the activity so that it doesn't cause as much pain, as much stress. And the key with any activity, really, you don't get to being able to run 3.5 miles just from right away. That's training that you did. You worked that up. You slowly built that. You built that up. You trained your body. You trained the muscles around you, and your body can handle it fine. So as far as modifying the activity, if you were trying to get up to that, and let's say they're not as conditioned as you are, start off slow. Start off with lower impact exercises first. Get the muscles strong. Get the muscles strong and then train up to that. And then usually, and that's a perfect strategy to get up to that point. But, it's when you're sort of trying to overwork things when your body's not necessarily ready for it. That's what can cause the issues.
Right. And if you have an issue, you're saying switch to something like biking because you're using different muscles and your joint is being used a different way. Less impact.
Exactly. Less impact. Yeah. So that's one, less activity modification or less impact, so to speak. And then going into that other disease I talked about, the spontaneous insufficiency fractures, that's also a to a degree, a treatment option for that. But more so with that, we sort of treat that a little bit more like a treatment for a stress fracture. So offloading, actually, it's a little bit more aggressive as far as the as far as the treatment option, it's more demanding, so to speak.
You
want to put a lot less stress on the knee, because a stress fracture, you know, as the word implies, tends to occur because there's a lot of stress on the knee, so to speak. So we have to sort of offload it, and that even means sometimes using a cane, using a crutch, even for my younger patients, using a cane in order to offload that that side in order to give it time to heal, so that we don't develop that avascular necrosis where that bone, you know, just doesn't even get the blood anymore.
All right, doctor, thank you so much. Dr. Edwin Theosmy, fellowship-trained hip and knee surgeon at the Hackensack Meridian Medical Group. Thanks for taking the time this morning. It was great having you again.
No problem. Thanks for having me.
For more information, go to jfkmc.org, or for a podcast of the show, you can go to foxsportsradionewjersey.com or magic983.com. JFK Spotlight on Health, brought to you by Hackensack Meridian Health. Keep getting better. I'm Joel Katz, and we will talk again next week.